Good morning, and good morning to those who are joining us online. I'm just going to hand over to Rosemary, who's going to take us through some of the notices.
Thank you, Norman. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service of worship this morning, and especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Oh, not doing communion this morning. You may wish to sign the visitor's book when you leave this morning, if you've not been before. Very special intimation, our minister. Norman has announced after careful and prayerful consideration that he will be retiring in April this year. His last service of worship that he will lead for us will be on Sunday, the 19th of April. More information will follow about events to mark this very important event, and we are sure everyone will want to thank Norman and Karen for their service to the congregation for over more than 30 years. I think it's 35 and a half. And obviously to wish them a long and happy retirement. Walking Group, a programme of outings for 2026, is now available in the vestibule. The first outing will be held on Sunday, 22nd of March, hoping for warmer weather by then. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. As part of the Warm Welcome Initiative, the church will be open on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 5 p.m. until the end of March. The Sanctuary Cinema will show a film every week. Next two films will be The King's Speech on 29th of January and Mrs. Doubtfire on the 5th of February. Films start at 2 p.m. Admission is free and tea and coffee and biscuits are provided. Discussion group meetings for Lent are likely to start on Tuesday, the 17th of February, reverting to Wednesday evenings from the 25th of February. Other intimations, there are further intimations on the printed sheet, which can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And before we go finally to look at order of service, Mrs. Anna Robertson was asking this morning if anybody knows of anyone that could help to fix her landline telephone. Yes. We're trying to contact TalkTalk, and of course all you get is automated messages. So if anyone has any guidance or advice, could you speak to Anna after the service? And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at our order of service for today. Thank you.
There is one further intimation, and that is on behalf of my wife, and I would be in real trouble if I didn't say this. We're coming up to that season when Dunfermline Gilbert and Sullivan Society put on their performance. They're doing Patience, although it's called Strictly Patience this year, and I've not been told anything that is happening, but I've noticed Karen buying sparkly things. So who knows what will be in that show. But that takes place in February, and I'm desperately trying to remember the dates. 19th to the 23rd, right, okay. So that, it should be interesting. The performances are Thursday, Friday, and a matinee on the Saturday. So if you are interested, then Karen will happily sell you a ticket, and that means that all the monies go to GNS, and I don't think there's a booking fee in there, so it benefits everybody. Speak to me later if you'd like a ticket, because Karen would love to see folk there. So, I think we should worship God, since it is why we are here. Let's sing to God's praise and glory now by singing hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask you to bless all that we offer to you, of our time, our talent, and our money. Use our gifts to your glory and to your praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, Rosemary is leading us in our prayers.
Our prayers this morning are based on resources from within the Faith and Worship website. Let us pray. Light of light, Lord of lords, God of this world and the next, we give you thanks for the promise of this day. We give you thanks for the blessings of this day. With hearts full of gratitude, we lift our voices to you, the light that never fades, the hope that never fails, the love that holds us steady through our every storm. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heavenly Father, you spoke and a universe burst into existence. You breathed and an ocean broke against the shore. You laughed and a wild goose flew across the horizon. You sang and a love song was played for our world. Gracious Father, for all the love you have shown us, as sometimes reluctant disciples, your patience in always being with us when we decide to go our own way, your hand is there for us as we stumble or feel anxious, your gentle whisper reminding us that you will never let us go. God of wholeness, God of healing, we hold out our hearts, minds and souls to feel your touch and to know your peace as we come to you now in silent prayer and to bring you our own personal thoughts and confession. Forgiving God, save us with your powerful mercy and shine your light into our darkness. Open our hearts and minds always to your embrace as we join together now in the saying of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 336. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star.
Thank you.
better if I've switched on. A few years ago, in the run-up to Christmas, one of my family asked what kind of quiz I was going to run in Limekilns Church that year, because I always have a quiz down the road in Limekilns on Christmas Day. I said it was a secret, but the truth is, I had not worked out what I was going to do at that point. I am a little bit last minute, to say the least. This prompted me to do a quick search of TV quiz shows to see what kind of format I might use. I don't think I had realised how many quiz shows there are, from comedy shows with celebrity guests to quizzes that really test knowledge and memory. All of this would suggest that a significant number of people enjoy watching or listening to quizzes. Be that things like Have I Got News For You, if you're into satire, or if you're very clever, it might be University Challenge. And if you've got that kind of a mind, it might be Only Connect. I watch a lot of these, I've got to say. And with Only Connect, the big moment is I get one answer right in the whole programme. I'm not sure why we enjoy them so much, but it may be the satisfaction when we know the answer as quickly as a contestant, or maybe even better, when we get the answer and they don't. One thing I've noticed is that people with really good general knowledge often struggle when a biblical question comes up. Things that we might think are common knowledge prove not to be. Of course, I do remember going up to Woodmill High School when Sarah was there as a pupil, and the head of English said that it was very difficult for people of today to read what we regard as good literature, because all, and obviously knowing they were speaking to a minister, said nobody seems to know what people of the past just assumed everybody knew these bits of the Bible. How many of us have been surprised when really bright people are asked a question and they either get the answer wrong or they have no answer at all when it's something to do with the Bible? And how many of us feel that sense of satisfaction when we go, well, I know the answer? When I looked at our gospel reading set for this Sunday, a very different question came to mind. And that question was, do I know the Bible too well? Because that has its own problems. We can think that we know the Bible stories in a way that obscures what is actually there. Do I read the words, or do I read into the words what I think is there? Now, we know that kind of pattern with the Christmas story, because I've said often enough about the traditional nativity play, most of it is not actually in the Bible. In fairness, we do have a certain understanding when it comes to the failures and frailties of the disciples. We identify with their struggles and their character flaws. We understand their humanity from our humanity. But we are also influenced when we come to the Bible by all sorts of other things. What do we understand when it comes to Jesus' humanity? We read the New Testament actually as it was written, because it was written in the light of the resurrection. Had there been no resurrection, there would be no gospel. But when we read thinking about crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, because we know who Jesus is as he comes in through the story. We have all grown up in particular traditions of church. We will have possibly read different commentators, writers, and we will have heard a number of preachers. From verses of the Old Testament and New Testament to Christian writers down through the centuries, preaching is presented as something that requires great care, not just from the preacher, but from the listener too. Our own assumptions and theologies can colour what we read and what we say and what we perceive to be there. We all bring a level of interpretation to what we read, and sometimes that means we add or take away from what is actually written. All of that said, it is not wrong to read between the lines, or rather, to try to understand what people then might have seen and how they might have understood or misunderstood what was happening to them. Who is this Jesus when you don't know anything about Easter? Imagination is a gift of God. So in our readings today, I'd like to ask you to think, picture this. What would it have been like to have read or heard or been there yourself? Irene is going to read for us from Psalm 33 and then from Matthew chapter 4.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 33, verses 1 to 11. Rejoice in the Lord. Sing joyfully to the Lord, your righteous. It is unfitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him with a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and just. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He works the purpose of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. Second reading today is from Matthew 4, verses 12 to 25. It's entitled, Jesus Begins to Preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what he said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, the way of sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net onto the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said. "I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness amongst people. News spread about him all over Syria, and the people brought to him who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and the paralysed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. May God bless these readings this morning from his holy word. Amen.
We're going to sing a hymn from Mission Praise, number 651, The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. I wonder if you've been to a party or a celebration where there is the unexpected or impossible guest. It might be a family party where there is a relative living in another country at the ends of the earth, and they're secreted away until the moment that they are revealed. Every so often in the press, we'll read one of these human interest stories where perhaps it might be a wedding or some other celebration, and they're going to have a piece of music, and it just so happens that the composer, the player of that music, turns up unexpectedly and is there for that moment. We can think of Jesus in this way as he begins his ministry. And there is a sense in which the incarnation is the story of God breaking into, bursting into human history. And that can lead to the idea that Jesus suddenly and unexpectedly addresses fishermen in their boats or cleaning their nets. That he is that sudden and miraculous stranger who appears out of nowhere. If we were to read the latter part of today's passage from Matthew's Gospel in isolation, that might be the story. The disciples leave their nets, and Jesus goes on to attract a huge following. But if we start working back from that moment, We find that Jesus is now living in Capernaum, having decided not to go back to Nazareth. Prior to that, he has left Judea to return to Galilee. And that move was prompted by John the Baptist's imprisonment. We might wonder what the mood of that moment was for those who were followers of John the Baptist and had experienced that interaction between John and Jesus. Matthew explains this move from Judea to Galilee in terms of the fulfillment of Scripture. Here he quotes from Isaiah, a passage foretelling the birth of Jesus. We often use this passage from Isaiah in our Christmas services. It is one of the great messianic texts from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9 tells us of light for people walking in darkness. It's a passage that talks of Galilee of the Gentiles being honoured. But this is Matthew's understanding with the benefit of hindsight. He is writing in the light of the resurrection. How did it look in that moment? The imprisonment of John must have seemed a real blow to those who had been baptized by John in the Jordan and saw him as a prophet, as a great man of God. He's in prison. Jesus has moved from Judea to Galilee, and that must have seemed a bit like a retreat. You see, Jerusalem and Judea are the place to be. Galilee is certainly not the place to be. Galilee is heavily influenced by the world beyond Israel, by all of those places round about that were of the Gentile world. Then back in Galilee, Jesus chooses not to live at Nazareth, and we can perhaps understand this better if we think of a moment later in the Gospel when Jesus visits his hometown and we get a saying that quite a lot of people use without knowing that it is in the Bible. Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honour except in his own country and in his own town." And so instead of Nazareth, Jesus settles in Capernaum, and it is there that he calls his first disciples. Last week, we noted that Andrew and Simon were first of all disciples of John the Baptist. In the passage from Matthew's Gospel, we find them at home engaged in the family business. They were fishermen. And the likelihood is that James and John were also connected to John the Baptist and were followers of his. They knew the message about repentance and preparing for the kingdom of heaven. We sometimes think of Jesus appearing as a stranger to Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And the four disciples suddenly leaving the boats and nets behind. It makes much more sense that they already knew Jesus through John the Baptist, and more than likely they heard in Jesus' words a continuation of what John had said. It would not be far from the truth to assume that John's disciples would have thought back to those days when they had been introduced to Jesus at the Jordan as a wonderful moment, a perfect moment. There is the great and fiery prophet of God pointing to the one who is Messiah. It must have seemed absolutely right. And then it all falls apart. When we read the Gospels, it is clear that there was an entirely human expectation that the kingdom of heaven meant something military and political in terms of Roman occupation. Oh yes, with a spiritual dimension, but this was to do with the nation being cleansed and having earthly power and influence. Simon, Andrew, James and John would have spent most of their time in Galilee. They wouldn't have been able to leave the boats all that often. But the arrest of John must have been a huge blow. Judea, now a dangerous place for his followers. And Jesus, leaving Judea, returns to Galilee. Not to Nazareth in the hill country, but settles in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. We're not told how long Jesus has been there. Before he calls Simon and Andrew. All we are told is that he began to preach a message that people should repent, for the kingdom of heaven was near. And if we go back to the beginning of chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospel, these are exactly the words of John the Baptist. But this is a moment of decision. They know something of Jesus. They know something of Jesus as having been pointed out by John as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But now they have to decide when Jesus says, follow me. We might also wonder if the clear decision of these brothers was the encouragement needed for James and John to make the same decision when Jesus then called them. There is a kind of process as we follow the story. But we are well aware that these four fishermen have no idea what lies ahead of them as they follow Jesus. What we must not do is diminish the courage it must have taken to commit to following Jesus, considering all that had happened. That this revelation of God was not going to be without people who oppose it, people in power who oppose it. And yes, John had been preparing them for this moment, but in this moment they must decide. But perhaps there's something else to remember here too. To remember the courage that we had when we decided for Jesus. Just like Simon, Peter, Andrew, James and John, we find in Jesus that which is beyond any human wisdom or earthly sense. Jesus, through his life, death and resurrection, brings us into the kingdom of heaven, not a place after death, but to do with our very being. We are called to live out the kingdom. Through Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is near. In us, the kingdom of heaven is meant to be near. As we live out our Christian faith, we live out the kingdom. And we do so in a world that can sometimes feel very hostile. But it is also a world where people are crying out against the misuse of wealth, of power, where we see greed and anger and prejudice, where we see all the things that are wrong in the heart of humanity. That quote from Martin Luther King, he said, when we see social relationships controlled everywhere by the principles which Jesus illustrated in life, trust, love, mercy, and altruism, then we shall know that the kingdom of God is here. The King calls us to live out his kingdom in the kingdoms of the world. We are those who are called to live as a challenge in a world where there is so much lack of trust, where hatred and prejudice seems to be the norm, where mercy is lacking And altruism we find hard to notice in those with power and influence. We are called to live the opposite: trust, love, mercy, and altruism. For in us, the kingdom of heaven exists. It's not a geographic place or a place in time, but a place where we are. It is to do with our very being. The King is calling us, as he has called all of his disciples: come, follow me. And now, thinking about that, a question that is sung through a hymn. Jesus' words: will you come and follow me? Hymn number 533. Now, thinking about our world, our prayers for others, led again by Rosemary.
Let us come together in prayer for other people. Father, Lord, this world is yours, planned in eternity, permeated with love. Shine on, we pray, into our hearts and into our world today. Merciful Father, in these times of uncertainty and unrest, we bring before you the nations of the earth. We pray for world peace in the name of our Lord Jesus. Where there is conflict, sow seeds of peace. We continue to pray for Ukraine and for hope within the talks that are hopefully due to continue next week. The situation in Gaza is always with us. We pray for all wars to end. Gracious God, where there is injustice, raise up voices of truth. Where hearts are hardened, soften them with compassion and courage. We pray for those involved in diplomatic arrangements to support international relations and prevent changes to a new world order, where the power of the powerful would be seen to rise and the weak would become weaker. Grant wisdom and integrity to all our world leaders, that they will work for the good of the people they govern and serve. We pray that people everywhere will have their rights preserved and that they will live peacefully, free from fear. Loving Father, we pray for an end to poverty and ill division, trusting that all things are possible in you. Protect the vulnerable and strengthen those who work tirelessly for fairer societies, for healing and reconciliation. We also bring to you this morning, Father God, all who have been affected by the train tragedies in Spain and the landslides in New Zealand. We think of all who have lost loved ones and all who have been and are involved in rescue and recovery. In your compassion, loving God, draw near to those who grieve and those who are in pain, in body, mind, or spirit. Wrap them in your comfort. Calm their fears and grant them rest in the shelter of your love. We give thanks for the gift of fellowship in our widening church family and community. Father, Lord, unite our hearts in love, strengthen our bonds in faith, and guide us always to serve one another in kindness, as we bring to you now all who we are holding close in our hearts this morning. Loving Father, let us turn and follow you. Be the centre of all we are, the light by which we walk, and the blessing we bring to others. Through Jesus alone, we ask all of this. Amen.
Hymn 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh,
in the love of Christ, to live out the kingdom of heaven. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, now and forever.